guys.
Okay, I'll start off with a little bit of a testimony. Actually, a testimony I think I'm supposed to share. It was a couple years ago that I was asking Yahweh what I needed to do. Well, you know, instead of asking him, I basically said, what am I not doing? And he told me, I need to start running for an hour. I didn't ever really want to do it because it makes your legs thinner. I don't want to be thinner. But this year, I asked if I could do stair stepper instead. So I ran by the boss. So I did, and actually, this whole running for an hour is the biggest deliverance there is because I get to pray for my family. For an hour, all I'm doing is I'm running. I feel like I'm you never feel like you're actually going to get to the finish line. You feel like you're going to die. And I speak in tongues for my family. And I get revelation. Here's what Tim needs. Okay? Here's what your mom needs. And so it's incredible to have 1 hour dedicated to that, but nevertheless, it makes my legs thinner and thinner. So keeping me humble. But this year, I was like, well, God, you know, I was thinking about some different things. I said, well, why can't I just do a stair stepper? I can do that for an hour. And I prayed about it to say, can I do that instead of running? Because it won't make my legs any thinner. Now, girls will want thin legs. So if you want a thin leg and you're a woman, go run it. I got the what was communicated back to me was it was okay. I don't think it's as good, but it's okay. I could do it. Now, anyways, this year, I started doing an hour and a half of climbing stairs once a week. As part of my prayer and my meditation. It's actually what I call the first fruits. Very important. Yahweh wants our last fruits, right?
No.
No, he wants our first.
He wants to be first. It's up to you. And so even in the morning, I get all my discipline and trickle down from mom and dad. I don't get my morning coffee unless I do what?
Run.
And you know what the run is? It's where I check in. I tried waking up and praying. I fell back asleep. It didn't work very well. So I had to run because I knew I couldn't sleep then. But he wants the first fruits. It's really up to us. But in this case, I asked if I could do the stair stepper. I did it for an hour and a half. I was like, great. This is, you know, 2 weeks went by. I'm like, man, this is going to really help me with my elk hunting. And some of these other things were happening. And then something happened, and I attribute the success from my family because something horrible happened to me. I went to go do my squats on squat rack. I don't do heavy weights anymore. Just 225. I do 10 sets of 10, so 100 reps. As I'm walking into it, now I'm even praying. I'm ministering in the gym. Here's my gym ministry. Started when I was his age. I got out bench pressed by a third grade girl in pigtails. I started working out, but ever since, now I minister to people in the gym. I'm ministering, but I go to the squat rack. I'm doing what would be really called baby weights for my brother and I, anybody that lifts a lot. And it was like a sniper shot me in my back. Everything collapsed. I don't even know how the weights ended up on the rack. I think it might have been an angel or something. How did that end up there? All I know is I'm like paralyzed on my side underneath all these racks, this weight. And I'm like the most famous guy in the gym because I talk a lot. And I don't know what to do. So I pull out my phone and I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I can't walk. So I read two chapters of healing. And so here this is. And
while you're lying there?
Yeah, I'm lying underneath all the weight. And people are walking by me, and I'm like, what just happened? And I'm in excruciating pain. Anyways, it took me about an hour to get from the squat rack just to a chair. I couldn't hardly even walk. Back didn't work. I don't know what happened, but it was a major blowout. I sat in the chair for another hour because I couldn't stand up. I kept trying to stand up, and the personal trainers came on. They go, what? Are you okay? You need an ambulance? And in the back of my mind, you're gonna be in a wheelchair the rest of your life. Something just happened, and I'm in excruciating pain too, and humiliated. It took me another hour to get from there to my car. So when I got there, I sent a text message to everybody, please speak in tongues, intercede for my healing. I hurt my back. I've never had anything like it. And the frustrating thing was, it wasn't heavy weight. It wasn't me doing supernatural lifting. But everybody in the gym knows that Aaron's always pushing with his supernatural lifting, and now there's a guy can't walk out of the gym. And so I'm sitting there, I'm going, what am I going to do? And then even to drive my car to move my right leg, it was not easy. So I had to drive from the gym. I go home, and as I go home, I'm going, what happened? And it's neat. You want to know how much of your old man is still inside you. You think sometimes you feel like you're a bright and shiny Christian. The old man that's inside you, you've crushed him. He's locked into solitary confinement. Wait till something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because when something really goes wrong, it's real important for you to pay attention. Guess what's going to happen? The accuser inside you is going to start accusing and mocking. What did you think was going to happen? Where was Yahweh on that one? Why didn't he tell you that was going to happen? It wasn't like you're drinking alcohol or doing something horrible. Why didn't he warn you?
Yeah.
Where was this? And it wasn't Satan. I had no fellowship with darkness. This was me. So I sat in the bed for like 2 hours trying to figure out what to do. I can't even get up to go to the bathroom. It took me like 20 minutes to get up to go to the bathroom. It's humiliating. Who's going to take care of me? I don't got anybody to take care of. I got a plant. It hasn't died yet, but it's not going to help me to the bathroom. I'm like a 90-year-old person. I need a walker. And the low point was I needed a walker. I was like, all I need is a walker. And then I can go to the bathroom. All these things are going through my head. And the accuser is saying, what did you think was going to... Where was Yahweh? Why didn't he tell you not to do it? Now I'm going to digress for a second. What happened, now the injury was not from heavy weight, not heavy lifting. I think it was from... I exhausted some small muscle group in my back from just doing an hour and a half of stair climbing. And I just climbed stairs for an hour and a half. That's not crazy, right? But something blew the fuse. Now I'm lying in the bed. I gotta work. How am I gonna pay for my mortgage? How am I gonna take care of my son? How am I gonna do this? You gotta be able to work. I need a wheelchair. All these things are going through my head because I can't walk. And at the same time, all these believers are ministering. They're interceding, they're speaking in tongues, which is perfect prayer for me. And I'm sitting there going, what do I do? So I tried sleeping. So I did it. So I slept for a little bit. And this is the middle of the day, and I had plenty of things to go at the gym. The other thing was, the reason why I was at the gym is because I'm working out in the morning, because Yahweh told me he wanted me to work out in the morning. Now I'm not at the office. All these things are going through my head. Now this is got to kind of go where the teaching is. I sat there. Why didn't Yahweh tell me not to do it? He could have, at least I thought. Why didn't he warn me? Okay. Why am I not getting revelation from Yahweh and Jesus Christ right now to heal myself, to get healed? I've been healed. I've had lots of healings in my life, but this was, I've never experienced anything like this. What's the heck's going on here? So as I took a nap, I'm lying there. I just need to lay here for a day or two, I guess. I'm figuring these things out. And a neat thing happened. I listened to, my dad gave me Kenneth Hagin's autobiography. And here's this guy. When he was born premature and dead. At least his mom and his grandma thought. So they went to go bury him in the garden in the backyard. His name's Kenneth Hagin. They put him in a shoebox when this man was born. Because he's dead. Little bitty, deformed baby. And they went to go have a funeral in the backyard in the garden. And before they stuck him in the dirt, he sneezed. And his mom said, he's alive. They took him and they put him on the door of the oven to keep him warm as an incubator. And for 12 years, this guy lived. But the doctor says, it's just a matter of time with your heart problems. You're going to die. During this autobiography, Kenneth Hagin says, nobody taught the Bible then. Nobody taught the Bible. It's all doctrines of men, this and that. And the pastor that his family belonged to said that God did this to him. Well, there is no healing. There's no hope for him. You're just going to die. But he read the Bible, and he read what Jesus Christ did. He read about faith, and he read about healing, and he read about these things. Do you know what this 10-year-old kid did? He couldn't walk because he would collapse. He would pull himself up on his bedpost, and he'd say, a healed man doesn't stay in bed. And then he'd go back to his bed, and he'd lay down. And he would do this every day. A healed man doesn't stay in bed. Do you know who that guy became? Somebody want to tell the kids who Kenneth Hagin is? He's one of the greatest healing ministers.
Healing ministry, yeah.
A healing ministry. He was this close from being buried in a shoebox.
And he lived till he was...
80, 2004. Healing, faith in the Word. Now, there are a lot of areas he's way off, but in a couple of areas, you eat the soup, spit out the bones. You can go to a church, and you go in here, you eat the hay, spit out the sticks. In his case, faith. He really had it. And Andrew Womack has faith.
Yeah.
And you can look at it. How do you know? Look at how many people have you raised from the dead, Aaron Cunningham? Nobody. Okay, you remember that. But anyways, this guy was one of the greatest healing ministers ever, and here I'm laying in bed. I'm wanting to get revelation. What happened? What went wrong? And all I'm thinking is Kenneth Cahagan crawls. So I tried crawling out of bed, and I got to lean up against the wall. I'm holding myself, crawling into the bathroom, and I said, a healed man doesn't stay in bed. Now, the next part is I'm laying there. I didn't know that Yahweh and Jesus Christ were communicating to me. It was very, isn't it neat how they communicate? The way they communicate to us requires faith. Why is that a shock? Mm-hmm. And here I am, Lord! Would that require faith?
No.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, right? We saw that yesterday. A deaf man can hear you. What? Never mind. It was Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
But he communicates to us in something that requires faith. Quiet, peaceful. Was that even him? I don't know. Does that require faith to walk that direction? Hunting would do the same thing. What is it? What is it? And it was what we're going to be reading tonight. Whose faith is required to be healed? And it's not just healing. It's whatever the miraculous thing that you're... All of us... If you don't ever exercise your faith, okay. Here's the thing, Elijah. Do you exercise your muscles?
Yes.
Out of all these kids, who's more prepared to move heavy weight?
Probably.
Why? He is exercised. When it comes to physical discipline, getting hit, getting smacked, going in quadruple overtime, who here is prepared? Yeah. His sports has prepared him for endurance. So is your sports too. I've seen your games. You go on Regulus, where Caban's going 100. If you can do 120% harder and faster than all the rest of the kids, Yahweh is preparing you guys for other things. If you don't exercise your faith now with the little things, with sports, with stuff, you're going to eventually end up in a situation where you need a lot of faith. And then you don't have it, and guess who you're usually going to blame? He left me. He goes, you never worked with what I gave you. But the word I got to me was according to your faith. And it wasn't like a directive statement being told me, but I recall this. Turn to Matthew 9, verse 8. It's funny. If you have electronics that don't work well, or your mom, you know, if something's not working well, we have a tendency to get very irritated with either the computer, the car, the appliance, the whatever it is, and when a lot of times it's user error. Our hearts are good intention, at least with me, it's user error. I know it's probably me. It's always me. I don't know how to figure this thing out. Well, a lot of times with Yahweh's word, when we're looking about a miracle, what is your miracle? What is the supernatural desire you have in your heart? And sometimes the reason why that's not going to go away, page 8. Or, I'm sorry. Did I say, yeah, page 8. In the New Testament. Sometimes some of those supernatural desires aren't going to go away is because it's not your desire.
Yeah.
Somebody else, it's your roommate. You ever had a roommate before? You ever live with a brother, share your room? Whose stuff is this? It's back! Ah! It's your roommate! Oh, his stuff is touching my stuff. You have a roommate. I have a roommate. And sometimes it's his stuff. It's a desire. It's supernatural. It's a child. I had that desire with Cain, and I was told that I was gonna speak out in words of faith that I was gonna have a son before I was even married. There he is. But anyways, Matthew chapter 9, 27 through 29. See, I said Matthew 9.
I will read it.
So we're going to look at different kinds of faith. Faith is, be the Hebrew word, aman, right? It's going to be certainty. And there's different layers of certainty. You sat down on the couch, were you worried about it blowing up? We're falling over? No, there's a little bit of certainty. Going on some of those rides, that's more certainty. Now I'm going to be okay. But anyways, 27 through 29. Somebody read.
Esther wants to read.
And And as Jesus was passing aside from thence, there followed him two blind men, crying aloud and saying, Have mercy on us, O Son of David. When he entered the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith upon them, Believe ye that I can do this? They saying to him, Ye Lord, and touching ye their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it done unto you.
What was the last part?
Whose faith?
The blind man's faith. Be it according to your faith. Turn to Luke chapter 7. So whose faith was going to heal the blind man?
Their own.
Yeah.
Huh. Luke chapter 7. That's page 64. Luke 7:11-14. Somebody please read.
I'll read it. And it came to pass thereafter, he journeyed unto a city called Nain, and there were journeying with him his disciples in multitude. Now as he drew near unto the gate of the city, and lo, there was being brought forth one dead, only begotten son of his mother. She was a widow, and a considerable multitude of the city was with her. And beholding her, Yahushua was moved with compassion over her, and saith unto her, Be not weeping. And going forward, he touched the coffin, and the bearers stood still, and he said, Young man, to thee I say, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak.
Can you imagine that? Probably looked like a mummy. He would have been all wrapped up. He's unwrapped. It's like Lazarus. Whose faith was used here? Does a dead man have faith? He doesn't have a pulse. He's not breathing. Whose faith? Yahushua's. His faith. There's going to be times in our life, in our ministries, and I'll do the waiver. I didn't mean to go off on the digression of the Hebrew word aman. Go to the website, tell us if you want to read the aman. But anyways, where was I going? Yahushua's faith. Okay. There's going to be times in your ministry that Yahweh's going to tell you, go grab that person and pull them up. And whose faith is that?
Yep.
Yours. There's going to be times in your life that I've got to do it where I had with somebody, go grab them and drag them to fellowship. I don't want to be the bad guy. Whose faith was required there? And then there's other times when you're sitting with believers. My brother and I, we sit down. That's why you want to be around believers. Golly. It's like, would you want to be the only paramedic in the, you know, you can imagine it like the Hacksaw Ridge. There's no other medics. Hey, everybody needs me. But here, there's another believer. I got faith. What do you have? And every once in a while, you'll be with another believer. And actually, his faith is a part that I needed for my faith. Now, it all comes together. There's different types of faith. In this case, Yahushua didn't need the dead guy's faith. But before that, it's according to your faith, these blind men. So did Yahushua approach the blind men? No. The blind men approached him. I was laying in bed. I couldn't walk. And I was waiting for Yahushua to approach me. And I was becoming confused and irritated because where are you? I need some help. I had great intentions, but I blew it because I got obviously I wasn't listening because Yahweh was sending messages. You're going to get hurt, but we got to turn lemon into lemonade because obviously I can walk now. Acts chapter 14, page 134. And don't let me forget that I only gave you half of the testimony. It wasn't like, oh, I'm done, perfect. I went out dancing that night. No, I had to subdue something, and it wasn't the easy way. Acts chapter, 14, page 134, verse 8. You see it, Cade? Would you read it? Yeah.
What
verse 8. And a certain man.
And a certain man.
Lystra.
Impotent. And his feet was sitting lame from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This man hearkened unto Paul as he was speaking, who, looking steadfastly at him and seeing he had faith to be made well,
go ahead and read verse
said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet, erect. And he sprang up and began to walk about.
Can you imagine, the guy had never walked in his life? Can you imagine? I've got to lead people into speaking in tongues, which is arguably better than walking, because it's praying perfectly. He's going to do a lot of other things. It's spiritual warfare. But to get to see that, do you think the Apostle Paul ever regretted that moment?
No.
His roommate who lived inside him, do you think he reminded them that anytime Paul thought, I'm not worthy, I don't have what it takes? Do you think his roommate would take the remote control and change the channel and it go to Paul's memory of a guy dancing like Peter? Remember, Peter did something similar to that. And his roommate goes, quit moping around, you big sissy. Take a look at your resume. But if he did mope. But it says, unto Paul, as he was speaking, who looked steadfastly at him, and seeing he had... What happened here? Whose faith?
His faith.
Who recognized his faith? Yehoshua told Paul he's got faith to get healed. Is that different than the other two? One was, you are the Messiah, you can heal me. He goes, you believe this? They go, yes, we believe. He goes, be it according to your faith. Go see the priests. You're healed. Another time he walks in, he goes, come with me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Wait a minute. Yehoshua's faith. Then there's other times Yehoshua's going to say, they got what it takes. Well, then why aren't they dancing? If you ever seen somebody on the outside of the dance floor? They got what it takes. And Yehoshua, your roommate's going, grab them. Their faith was ready, right for the picking. And guess what happened? Boom. We're probably going to get to meet that guy someday. We're going to get to see these videos someday. And so another different time. Now turn to Acts 3:60. So to take a left, we'll look at Peter. That's all I can think of when I read that. I don't ever remember reading that about the Apostle Paul. I don't know how many times I went through the book of Acts. I don't remember Paul doing that. And all I can think about is when Paul did that, I was like, man, I bet you he was going, that's just like Peter. I got to talk to Peter. Peter, what did you feel like? I mean, golly, man, if I raised somebody, awoke somebody from among the dead, I'd want to talk to somebody else who done it too. It's like, did you get the goosebumps? And did you? Could you not sleep for 3 days too? I mean, that's what I would want to do. But Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Would a kid read that? And the question is, before you read it, whose faith?
Yours.
Go ahead, Isaiah.
Well, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
Wait a minute. So that's a very unusual. And you go, what I do have, I give?
Faith.
Is that faith?
Mm-hmm.
The ability to get what I do have. This is unique. Later on, Peter does say, why do you marvel at me? It's from Yahweh and Jesus Christ that this power is giving. Give them glory, not me. I'm just a conduit. And in my case, I'm just like a dirty, rusty pipe. Sometimes you get some good stuff through there. That's a different type of thing too. A different type of faith. So whose faith was it? Was it the guy that gave beautiful? Did he have faith to get healed? It didn't say that. It said this was Peter's faith. Yahweh gave him a revelation. Grab him. And if that guy didn't have the faith to get healed, this is different than Paul. What do you think that guy's face looked like when you grab him to pull him up? When Paul did that, it would appear that guy's ready to go. Hey, he's in a bar. This sale's over. But in this case with Peter, you can imagine. Now I'm storytelling. If this is all Peter's faith, when Peter went to grab out of the wheelchair, whatever he had back then, the guy's probably going, what are you doing? Why would anybody pick him up? Are you going to mug me? Are you going to beat me up? Are you going to shake me around? But what happened? The timing was just right. You're going to go, okay. Now turn to Matthew 8. Are the roommates doing okay over there? We need to separate you two roommates. Page 7. I know what it's like to live with a brother. I'll give you a funny story. I've been living alone for 7 years. I came home late from work and I walked into my kitchen and I went, who touched my stuff? My stuff was all moved. Stuff was off my counter. I came in, so, and then all it sounded like a long thought, but it was really about a thousandth of a second. And then all of a sudden, Aaron, yeah, you live alone. Oh, must have been me. Oh, that's okay. That's authorized. I thought somebody touched my stuff. No, Aaron, you got issues, dude. Yes, I got issues. I repent. Okay, page 7.
That's weird.
No, but all of us have that. I was thinking about the other thing with pet peeves. Who decides who your pet peeve is?
You.
Your old man does.
Yeah.
And then as soon as somebody breaks your pet peeve, it's not my fault to punch them in the face. That's my pet peeve. They know better. You know what you should do with any pet peeve? You die. That doesn't bother me anymore. That's a shock that we have. And I was thinking about that because somebody broke up. I have a pet peeve. Somebody does something, they pick their nose when we're eating dinner or whatever it is. I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to look at it. They know that bothers me. And then all of a sudden, Yahushua was like, Aaron, who gave you that rule? I think divine intervention. I think some tablets out of heaven said that I could hate somebody because of that. You know, that's your old man. Anyways, get rid of your pet peeves. Those are chains of our either the adversary or our old man going to say, in fact, send somebody to pick their nose next time I go eat, or whatever the thing is. To break those pet peeves. Anyways, Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 10. Caitlin, I would like you to read this. Five through 10, chapter 8.
Okay. And when he entered into
Capernaum,
there came near unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying,
Lord,
my servant is laid
prostrate
and has
paralytic.
A paralytic fearfully tortured. He saith unto him, I will come and cure him. But the centurion answering said, Lord, I am no considerations that under my roof thou shouldest enter, but only say with a word, and healed shall be my servant. For I also am a man sent under authority, having under myself soldiers, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth. And to other come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it.
One more? Verse 10.
Now Jesus, hearing, marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, with no one in Israel such faith as this have I found.
And Yahushua tells the centurion, verse 13, read verse
13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, withdraw, and as thou hast believed, be it done for thee. And healed was thy servant in that hour.
What kind of faith was it? Whose faith? Was that Jesus, Yahushua's faith?
Centurion.
Was that the servant, the centurion faith? You guys ever the automatic paper towel dispensers? You ever seen one of those? You just wave your hand, paper towels come out. The sink, you just wave your hand, water comes out. It doesn't care who you are. If you activate it, it's there. Faith is the same thing. Faith is what moves mountains. All things are possible to what? Him who has faith. What kind of faith are you going to be needing today? I was guilty, and I'm learning. There's different types of faith. Have you ever seen somebody? I was at somebody's house. They needed some help on their sprinkler system and some other types of things. So I went to their house and I showed up with a tool belt on, and they flipped out. Oh my goodness! Wow, where'd you get that? Because I had a screwdriver and a hammer and a tape measure. I went into this person's house and they had no tools. Because I've been in there before, and he wanted me to work on their house, and he had one little like woman screwdriver that looked like somebody chipped paint with. He had no tools. Sometimes we're doing the same thing with our faith and our believing. We got one tool that we are exercising and using. The centurion had been exercising faith to when the moment was needed, somebody got healed. Somebody's life was on the line. And the centurion type of faith was something that this man must have exercised over and over and over again. Just like a doctor or a paramedic or a hunter. Izzy's very good at shooting. I get to see Izzy take miracle shots. How do you do that? You got to practice. If you're not practicing faith, miracles, mighty works, these things, then you're not preparing yourself. You're unnecessarily making yourself very difficult, and you're setting yourself up for failure, as was I. But here Jehoshua marveled. How did that centurion get that faith? He explained it. I know how faith works. Boom! It was like motion activated. A kid can activate faith through Yahweh's power. And guess what you can do? Would Yahweh get more glory or less glory if you awoke somebody from the dead or with me or for me? Who gets more glory?
Yeah.
If you do it. Kids. He gets more glory when a child manifests. He gets more glory when a child walks on water. He gets more glory when the little one, so they confound the wise and they look and they go, how in the world is this? When I was your guys' age, I walked behind my mom and my dad and expected them to do everything. I didn't want responsibilities. Until somebody started teaching me about my rewards. Don't you want anything from him?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, you're not going to do anything for Yahweh and Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, that's pretty much what you're saying. Don't you want anything from them?
Well, yeah.
You're not going to give them anything, and you're going to expect them to give you some stuff.
Never thought about it that way.
That's why you're supposed to think about your rewards every single day. What do you want? Jesus Christ said, treasures, rewards, treasures, rewards. Where's your treasures, your rewards? And we exercise these things. And then you go to these places. What is your greatest reward every single day? Look at the area that your toolbox, your faith toolbox. What are the things you're not using? And got to go, okay, I need to start working on that thing. And there's lots of stuff, especially when I talk about toolboxes, because I'm staying from the guys that helped me build my house. I was like an invalid. Well, can you help me with this over here? Aaron, you need to grow up. In my case, where I was is it came back and said what was being communicated was there's different types of faith, Aaron. The type of faith that I had up to that point was not what I needed. I needed a different type of faith to get healed. And guess who I was mad at when I kind of started figuring that out? I felt like you set me up again. Well, you should have told me! And here he is. Yeah, how long-suffering Yahweh and Jesus Christ. All of us have been there. We're in a mess. I've never exercised this type of faith. And it went back to Aaron. There's different types of faith. Be it according to your faith. And guess what I was told to do? So I was doing what Kenneth Hagin was saying. A healed man doesn't stay in bed. It wasn't working. But I was doing it. It always does work. It wasn't giving me the results that I would want, but faith always works. If you curse a butterfly or a weed and you don't see immediate results, don't worry about it.
It's done.
It always works. It might not work 100% to your expectation. Jesus Christ cursed a fig tree. He talked to a fig tree. You're dead! And you can imagine all the disciples are walking, following the Lord, and they're like, still alive. They keep walking. still alive. Man, I thought he was going to, like, explode or something. Yeah, me too. I'm really confused. A couple days later, they came back and he was dead. And Peter went, Lord, it worked! And the host was like, yeah, it worked. Sometimes it's going to take time. It always works. So prepare yourself, whether it comes out 1%, 1,000, or it wouldn't be 1,000%, or 100%, for blood, I don't care. I'm ready for the result. You don't have a choice. You will submit to the word, because when you speak to your body, when you speak to a person who's dead, you're telling them to submit to him. Does a tree have a choice to submit to Jesus Christ and Yahweh? No. But if we get in the way with our unbelief and we go, who am I? Who am I? You just blew it all up. We just messed up the whole connection. You can imagine, here's Yehoshua talking. He says, tell Isaiah he's going to go to Africa this year and he's going to come back and he's going to... And I go, I don't know if he's going to believe that. If I would just repeat and do what he tells me to do, well, guess what happens? It works. What we do is when we get revelations, we pollute stuff out. We pollute it. In my case, I had to stand up and say it like I mean. Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, verily I say unto you, who knows it? Okay. Who memorized it?
What verse?
Mark 11, 23 and 24.
Oh.
Okay, look at the camera.
22 to 24.
Okay. Happy the hour, verily I say unto you, whomsoever shall say unto his mouth, shall be lifted up and cast into the sea, and so on that. And so now, down top shall be believed, for these people come to pass, it shall be his. For this cause I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye praying for and asking, believe that ye receive, and they shall be yours. Mark 11, 22.
Amen. Good job, isn't it, Sean, and everybody help, mom and dad. Excellent. All things. Some things, all things. And when we look at people, be ready. When people go, that's not literal. Why? Well, that's impossible. Well, do you believe in a virgin birth? How do you feel about a resurrection after 3 days and three nights? Yeah. Oh, okay. So we go back to all things are possible to him who has faith. All things are possible. Does a mountain have to bow to Yahweh? Yes. If we walk out, we obey, and we believe, we're going to go, I'm just a mailman. But you got to say it like you mean it. 23 and 24. Whatever you say, what you'd be asking, believe you have received, then it will be yours. So however you guys speak, you should speak that way like you got it. And so I'm very loud. That's an understatement. I'm very animated. So when I confess my promises, my car is probably, all the windows are fogged up. Because I'm screaming and yelling. Here's, because this is how I would do it. If I'm going to move a mountain, I thought about it. How would I talk to the mountain? Excuse me. Not Aaron Cunningham. No, no, no. If I'm going to talk to a mountain, I'm going to do something like Gandalf. I've been there. I've thought about those things. In this case, I had to stand up, pull myself up, and yell for probably two and a half hours. According to my faith, I am healed. According to my faith, I am healed in excruciating pain, dragging myself with a leg. I don't know. I don't care what happened. Lazarus didn't even need to know what went wrong. And guess what happened? Eventually, things got a little bit better. And I'm back. But it was according to my faith. I had not prepared myself to activate my own faith. So in my area, where I messed up, I blew it. Obviously, I wasn't listening to Yahweh. I got hurt. It could have been really, really bad. And I'm here to tell you guys, it was serious. And it wasn't from overlifting, I just missed something. But now you guys can take a testimony and go, are you ready to activate your own faith? I had not been preparing for it. I'd learned it, I observed it, sometimes it's their faith. Are you ready to draw on your own faith? Because Yehoshua was standing over my bed going, Aaron, you need to do this. I've never done this before. And my situation, what were we talking about? Making my grass green? We talking about shooting a duck? No, we're talking about walking again. It's pretty important. It didn't have to get that bad. I could have been exercising, but now you guys can also. Mark 8. Page 46. And prepare yourself. It always works. Faith, scriptures, and scriptures spoken in faith, it always works. And prepare yourself. Sometimes we're expecting 100% immediate results right away. And if it doesn't work, oh, I tried that, I quit. It didn't work. I tried it, right? It always works. It always works. And who is honored when you say that, when you speak to your cat, when you speak and it looks like it doesn't work and you say, praise Yahweh, your word doesn't go out void. Who's honored? Yahweh. Do you think that blesses him? When you go to football and you a football game or a soccer game and you devote all these things, you still lose and you get humiliated and you do what Esther did after her deer hunting. Praise Yahweh. I'll get him next time. Who's honored? He's honored. So you prepare yourself. I don't have to worry about this stuff. He takes care of those things. These things got to bow to him. Basketball and whatever these things. Verse 22, 46. Israel, would you read that?
Page 46? 43.
Yeah. 43, sorry.
8:22. And they came into Bethsaida, and they bring unto him one blind, and beseech him that he would both touch. And laying hold the hand of the blind man, he brought him forth outside the village, and spitting into his eyes, laying his hands upon him, he was asking him, anything seest thou? And looking up, he was saying, I see men, because like trees I behold them walking. Then again put he his hand upon his eyes, and he saw clearly, and he restored, and was seen distinctly in broad splendor, all things together. And he sent him away unto his house, saying, not even into the village mayest thou enter.
How many times did that take Yehoshua? Twice. Two times. Okay, if it took him two times in that instance, does that mean you give up after 100? No. When you activate faith, whether it's healing in your own body, whether it's your house, who is honored?
Yeah.
The most valuable asset we have in our life is our time. And if we're giving it by just stretching it, and unless he tells you, I got something more profitable, why don't you go over here? Do it. But if it took Yehoshua two times for that, then we should be prepared. You're going to go, man, I would have been pretty defeated. Unless you go there mentally and go, okay. And so in that case, what I had to do, why did I have to yell at faith? How do you get faith? Faith comes by reading. Didn't come by asking. Faith doesn't come by knowing. Here's a vagrant in the gym today. This guy's very educated. And he said, I read the Bible all the time. I write poetry about the Bible. I said, well, that's a good thing. Faith comes by reading. He went, yeah, amen. No, it didn't come by reading. Well, faith comes by knowing then. It didn't come by knowing. I said, how do you get faith? And then he didn't answer it. Hearing. He needed faith. So he was stuck. So I had to yell it and say it like I meant it. You know, say, here these things are. So prepare yourself. Build yourself up. And remember your rewards. And practice this stuff. Practice on caterpillars. Practice on skies. Practice on trees.
Making life.
Practice on your skin. And give them all the glory. And, okay. Oh, here's a real neat testimony. I'm kind of walking out, ad-libbing a little bit here. Could the camera film all these children in here for a second? Could you film? There's Esther, Elijah, Isaiah, and Caden. I'll come back to Mel. Do you know how those four children, there's five children, where I'll come back to Milan. Do you know how they were conceived? We were told to go deer hunting. We were told to take scriptures. To go subdue a buck. I wasn't a deer hunter at that time. Izzy's the one that started it. There's got to be scripture to walk out in faith to subdue these things. He started it, and we started this whole thing that it's going to work, and it did work. We had no idea that there's five children, not including Melania. I'll come back to Melania. Their lives are on the line. Deer hunting. A buck. I sat right here and I did what you always said. Put your money in the mouth as you say you're going to get the biggest buck. I'm going to look like an idiot. I'm really egocentric. I don't want to look like an idiot. I didn't know that and Elijah was the first one. And your mom said you'd be a boy, you'd have brown hair. Second, brown hair. Caban, Yahweh told me to stand up and do the same thing. This was after the buck, and say you're going to have a son. Did we know our children were going to be on the line? What's he asking you to do? And Melania, there was another. I was doing a teaching. Your mom came here. I just told her this. And her mom could not get pregnant. And she started weeping. And I can't go back and put a whole finger on it, but I got angry. Somebody's got to do something about this. And I went on and I said, you're going to have a daughter. And I prayed, laid hands on her. You're going to have a daughter. What I did not know is I really believe that was Yahweh who was activating your mom's faith. That was here. It's the same stuff. We had no idea that going deer hunting and shooting a buck was going to bring some of the biggest blessings. Now, these children that are manifesting, that are prophesying, that are quoting scriptures that I don't even have memorized, all went back to it. So what is Yahweh stirring your heart to go? I'll give a prophecy. I'll close the word of prayer. Yahweh, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your time. We thank you for all you've done and for helping us. Help us give you glory in everything and anything in our lives that is not giving you glory. Help us separate ourselves from it. And we thank you for the words you speak to us through your Son, through the body of the Christ, which is us. We are the Naas living Elohim. My sons and my daughters, know that the beginning is more beautiful than anything you can ever imagine, but with each act of faith, with each step, I get to paint a more beautiful picture. And as you step forward, I have all kinds of vibrant colors and things. I start working as a perfect artist and planning and preparing the next day when you walk out in faith. It is when you stand still and you become stagnant that I'm not able to do half the things that I desire. So walk forward and know like a wedding planner, but more like a Bob Ross painting beautiful things. And these are the desires of your heart. I want you to have these things even more than you do. But I need you to get some work done so I can give them to you. So rejoice and subdue the day.